Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? Elon Musk is going after George Soros. People are speculating. Do we have sound? JF now is working. Okay, glad to hear it because it's not working on my side. No sound still. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I'm worried about Stephen Robinson, because Stephen Robinson would retweet all the time within a second. Tweeting about Pepe or tokens, he would retweet immediately, and today he didn't. I'm afraid Stephen Robinson might very well be dead. I hope he's okay. I hope he's not in jail for too much degenerate coin trading. I don't know what's happening with Stephen Robinson. Deadstar says, please stop saying important things in the first 30 seconds. That's usually what I'm trying to do. Normally I start with a relatively unimportant news item. Not that Stephen Robinson is not important to our heart, but it doesn't necessarily concern each of you. Ah, Stephen Robinson is there. JD, did you get your Pepe on Pulse Chain? No, I got my Pepe. So I'm happy to see that you're alive, Stephen Robinson. Oh, okay. Is it because we're Sunday and Stephen Robinson is Jewish, so he's not retweeting on the Sabbath? That is why I had a scare. Is that what's happening, Stephen? He says, did you get your Pepe on Postchain? No, I don't think so. I got my Pepe on the ETH chain. Isn't it the main chain? Why would I get it on Postchain? And I don't think that there are even liquidity pools available for Pulsechain. So I don't think it would be possible to get your Pepe on Pulsechain. Frog Eyes says, thought Pepe was utter rug. I mean, it probably is, but I've been again and again seeing these meme coins develop. And I didn't want to buy at the peak, because there was a peak of Pepe, and that's when you guys told me about Pepe. And I was like, I'm not buying at this peak. But it fell since then, and I know that there is a future for meme coins, and there's a lot of potential in the idea of Pepe. It's a meme that will come back again and again, year after year. So I went balls deep. I bought a massive amount of Pepe. Like Stephen Robinson, I don't know how much you got. I probably got 100 times more, maybe 1,000 times more than you have. I said, fuck it. I want a great retirement. I want a retirement with prostitutes and crack cocaine. That's what I'm going for. Stephen Robinson says, because if you had bought Pepe when I first talked about it, you would have it on both chains now. Ah, well. Too bad, and I don't care. I don't care. DK Shadow says, D-Gen JF. I bought a lot of Pepe coin. Way too much to be comfortable. You know, I decided, I've seen these meme coins again and again, and I've been jealous, and I've been frustrated that I couldn't get in time, because I've been, like with Doge, for example. I've heard about Doge and I was like, ah. And then Doge was successful and successful and more successful. So I said, fuck it. I'm putting my entire future and the wealth of the future generations, I'm betting it on Pepe. I want to be a magnet of crypto. I want to be the guy that, you know, girls whisper in each other's ear, I heard he has 10 Pepes. Oda Cut B shares health update on her daughter, Hope. It's going to be a longer road. People were sharing this with me, asking me, I would like to know what JF thinks about this. It's a 58-year-old who, through some marvels of technology, has given birth to a child. What do I think about this? I think it's a bad idea. I wouldn't do it. I don't recommend it. Now, we don't know exactly what she has, but there is an health scare. Well, of course, there is an health scare. 58 years old is not, you're not supposed to be able to give birth to a baby, and there will be complications. And I'm also against giving too much media coverage to these stories because it gives the anti-natalist, they're like, oh, see? See, you can still have a baby at 58-year-old? Yeah, you can. But it's not evolutionarily significant. It's going to be way too rare that it works. And even when it works, you're going to have way too much health problems that it's not a significant impact that you have on your evolutionary line by doing this. And I'm sure it's extremely costly in terms of, you know, implantation process. I don't know how they did this. Did they put her on hormones or whatever? I don't care. It's not a main way that civilization can reproduce right now. Maybe in a futuristic society, perhaps, but I see no sign of this coming to be the case. Detratal says, JF, ultimately, what do you think about the Durham report? Well, I talked about it on the show yesterday at the end of the show. And what I think is, I think it sucks. I think it's not a, it's like, we can see that Durham has made a relatively strong effort to truly understand the network of interest at play, the liars and where they are and how they lied and how they got away with it, basically. But it doesn't give us much substance to say, all right, we're going to prosecute this guy. It's like, oh yeah, all of these guys knew what they were doing, and they were also preparing so that we would never be able to find them to be in breach of any law. So that's it. It just sucks to see that the deep state is unattackable because they know very well the dirty stuff they're doing, and they are making sure that the records don't leave any trace of guilt. Steven Robinson says, buy Pepe on Uniswap, 1-inch, Matcha XYZ, or MetaMask Swap. Yeah, personally, I bought it with the MetaMask wallet on Uniswap. Uniswap is a trustable platform. I don't know about the others. Are the others giving better rates? I don't know what's the interest of the others. Dino Logovic says, I have no money, but if I did... if you don't have money, I certainly wouldn't recommend getting into Pepe first. I would recommend getting into Bitcoin. Much safer bet if you put some small amount of money. What markets will select for once genetic editing is online? Someone was sharing this with me. I don't know. This is the amount of money, the impact on your yearly salary of having different psychological characteristics. I don't know that it's fair to say that people will pursue this as the optimization function for the genetic editing of their children. I think it may be one of the considerations, but I think humans don't necessarily like to think in those terms of, oh, I want my child to be a productive worker. But that's basic. It gives us an idea. Conscientiousness, so the idea of being attentive to details, to be caring for the quality of what you do and caring for others. The more you're conscientious, the more you make money. Extraversion. The more you are extroverted, the more you make money. Interestingly, the more you are agreeable, the less money you make. And Jordan Peterson, I think, had been talking about this. He had said that two agreeable people, they cannot have the shark behavior, kind of. They cannot put themselves in a position to negotiate and go harsh on their boss and that kind of stuff. Neuroticism. No matter your neuroticism level, you make equal amounts of money. Interesting. You can be like insane in the fucking head and it doesn't change anything. That is quite interesting. Ah, that is interesting. Openness. The more open you are, the less money you're making. That is exactly the pot smoker critique that I have. These pot smokers are too open. The liberal-minded, you know, oh, everything is good. The thing is, if you want to be an agent of efficient action in the world, it has to be the case that not everything is good. There are things that are interesting. There are things that are not interesting. And if you're too open, you won't be able to tell the difference. IQ. IQ, of course, we had known this for a while, but IQ, the higher IQ, the more money you'll be making. Well, that is interesting. So yes, today I went balls deep into Pepe. When you guys talked to me about Pepe, I was seeing this drop and I was like, I don't think the drop is finished, and I was like, let's let it happen and see what happens. Now today I looked at this chart and I said, all right, it's time to go into Pepe with the hope of doing 10x minimum or more during the next bull run. And I don't care. I will become a millionaire out of Pepe. I've decided this. It doesn't matter to me if it's in the next year or in the next 10 years. DK Shadow says it's moving sideways for now. Yeah, exactly. And so I'm waiting for the next mimetic bubbles. You know, these meme coins, they will follow the rhythms of the internet, to which I'm very well acquainted because I spend my days on the internet every day. So I know that right now it's mimetic death. And so it's normal that Pepe goes sideways. But I cannot imagine a future in which Pepe doesn't rise higher than it currently is within the next 2 years. Like, it has to be the case that at some point it gets on all these popular exchanges. It has to be the case that at some point Elon Musk tweets about it, perhaps to get the attention of the Fed or the SEC away from him. He's going to tweet about it. And so this is what I foresee. I want to ride the mimetic waves as they come. I've had more information about this woman who was sucking Rudy Giuliani's dick for a living. I had just superficially reviewed the salacious accusations, but it's very interesting, the Zero Hedge article. You get to see the detail of her dick sucking. Constant pressure for oral sex. Yo, woman. Like, you can see this woman is marketing herself as a porn actress of the political world. Look at the shoulders forward. That is readiness for sex for sure. And there she was, sucking constantly Rudy Giuliani's dick. And like, what are we supposed to do? I fully congratulate Rudy Giuliani for having had this girl. Because when you're a celebrity, there's not much advantages, but free sex with hot woman or woman who would be hotter than what you would get otherwise, hotter than what Rudy Giuliani would get otherwise, is pretty much one of the only advantages. And look at her. Ha ha, I'm putting a cup on your head. And it's pretty clear that she was elevating herself in this relationship with the goal of getting further in life. Now, you've gone through this. You've gone through this consensually. So it's not like if there was a time at which he forced you, you would have stopped the relationship then. You didn't. So it's so frustrating for me to see that these consensual relationships meant for escalation of the professional world eventually turn into lawsuits. Giuliani often demanded that she work naked in a bikini or in short shorts with an American flag on them that he bought for her. When they were apart, they would often work remotely via video conference. And during those conferences, Giuliani almost always asked her to remove her clothes on camera. He often called from his bed when he was visibly touching himself under a white sheet. Giuliani also took Viagra constantly. While working with Miss Dunphy, Giuliani would look to Miss Dunphy, point to his erect penis, and tell her that he could not do any work until you take care of this. Thus, this is a perfect illustration of the work relationship, work slash sex relationship. So if she's too obsessed about getting you to work, you're like, okay, I will work after you suck my dick. Thus, Miss Dunphy worked under the constant threat that Giuliani might demand sex from her at any moment. Even when the COVID-19 pandemic halted, Giuliani's ability to physically assault her, he demanded that she disrobe during their work-related video conferences. This is amazing. They put the Borat documentary scene to say, oh yeah, you know what Giuliani does on the bed, on this scene? Like, tucking his shirt in while the journalist was standing there. Of course, this was all arranged by Borat. But she says, that's exactly what he was doing with me too. He was laying on his bed and tucking his shirt in. Like, this is irrelevant facts 101 in a legitimate system that doesn't want to hear this bullshit from women. This is an irrelevant fact. You are taking out of context an actual tucking in of his shirt for an interview, and you're saying, oh yeah, he was tucking his shirt like this after he raped me. When Miss Dunphy got out of the shower, she was startled. You don't get in a shower if you're not ready for sex. You don't get in a shower when you are at someone else's house unless you are ready for sex. Shower is consent. Silver Spider sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, the story you told about your father reminded me of my own father. One day I just didn't care anymore, too stressed by my mother for decades, drank himself to death over several years. How can we stay strong to become good grandfathers? Mine died before I was born, same with my son. Well, I see what you're saying. You know, women see so much trouble in personal life. And many people across the years have been talking to me about how the terror of their mother. I had the luck of having a super good mother, so it's not my case, but I can see from the current generation of women how women are basically terrorizing the family. And making people nervous and playing with emotions and instability and all of this. So I guess that to me the most healing thing for this is to have a chance at creating the next generation of women. So you say you are a grandfather. I don't know I don't know if you have a granddaughter or if you have a daughter, but to me, the great reconciliation with the physical universe comes from knowing that I will raise daughters and granddaughters to be different from the current generation of women. And I can see so much of the work that needs to be done. I can see how the natural girls, natural little daughters left to their own devices, they can be taken by the social context, they can be taken by their friends into extremely unhealthy emotional lifestyles. And I can totally see how if you don't care as a father or as a grandfather, I can totally see how your daughters will continue repeating this cycle of terrorism, of mental terrorism. He says, Jeff, no, not a grandfather, just had my first son, but I want to make it there because my grandfather died before I was born. My father died before my son was born. Okay, well, do your best then. And with your son, it's easier. It's actually you are in a terrible situation when raising a boy, because you're raising him in a world that would be extremely evil to him. So there's nothing you can do. Your son will likely be stuck with terrible fucking woman who will be emotionally abusive, who will be terroristic, who will be... and, you know, there's a reason why males die so young, and it's women. It's the complication and the emotional abuse of women. I've looked at the correlations between heart problems, health, and anxiety. It is through the roof. It is super strong. Like, it's a big societal problem. We are traumatizing men and they die earlier because of it. That's just how much aggression there is against them. So you can't do anything else than just with a son, you can raise him to be emotionally solid, to be able to handle that kind of stuff and reject it and stand away from it. If you get a daughter, you will have an opportunity to raise someone who may not be as evil as the females that have preceded you. And you'll be so happy when you see her with a young boy, and you'll want them to be happy, and you'll want to be there to supervise the relationship so that your daughter makes the right decisions of loyalty and love. And you can do that. You have to care about it, though, because a young daughter rises, you know, into childhood. I'm talking here about the years, year 2 to year 10. They are extremely chaotic, and it's a lot to correct, to give tips, to give guidance, so that they become decent persons. It doesn't come naturally. There's a little effort. It's not like it's a it's not like it's an insurmountable mountain, but it does require more work than with a little boy. The little boys have temperaments that may be excited and physical at times in terms of making a lot of trouble, but that is super manageable. Whereas the daughters can be histrionic, they can be yelling, they can be making crises on details, things that they want a certain way, and you have to train them to approach the world in a more opened way. Go away, says JF. My sister is angry at me because her son, 11-year-old son, my nephew, was rejected by a girl at school for being too short. And when he told me, I called him an incel. Am I wrong, though? Do you actually think he will ever have sex? Bro, I don't know if you're trolling me there, but that is a very impolite and very potentially emotionally hurtful way to interact with a young 11-year-old boy. Never forget that reality from their perspective is like it's a big hit, okay? Like being rejected at 11 years old, like you have less of a broad view. Like I'm 39. If I get rejected by a woman, it's like, to me, it's there. I see the umbrella of hundreds of thousands of women that have rejected me or fucked me. And I'm like, okay, one more, either side, I really don't care. You can grow to be cynical about it. But at 11 years old, it's like you put everything into it and you have your whole idealism and your whole belief that this is the girl, this is the one. So no, if you call them an incel, even for a joke, that is emotionally abusive in my view, and you shouldn't do that. You know, at this age, you can be despair. You can be easily put into a state of despair. Don't play with this as an adult. John Drake says, JF should be an incel. By that standard, isn't he 5'6"? Well, as I often say, there are three different ways to get women. You can have physical looks, including height. You can have money, or you can have social standing. I am a specialist of social standing. That is how I attract women. I'm an important person. I act important, and I remember when I was picking up girls in North Carolina, I was at the bar. It's like, hey, and they could start talking with me. I'd be like, you know, I'm a celebrity, you know, like my name is out there on the internet. And I remember there was a girl, there were two girls, and they were like in a tag team. They were coming onto me. And they were like, but how do we know if you're not a murderer or something? And I was like, you can Google my name. You know, I'm a celebrity. I can't murder people. And they were like, what? You're a celebrity? Yeah, I'm a scientist, you know. That was so fun. So fun. Miss Dunphy was frightened. She said she wanted to get dressed, unpack, and settle in. She asked for privacy. She said she would meet him in the living room when she was ready, but Giuliani would not leave. He sat on the bed and pulled down his pants. The following screenshot from the film Borat, subsequent movie film, depicts Giuliani acting in a similar manner to how he acted with Miss Dunphy. Giuliani then pulled her head onto her penis. Listen, woman. If you're really not into sucking Rudy Giuliani's dick, your head shouldn't be in the reaching space of the penis, because humans have arms, and that gives us a kind of the space of reachable things. And if Rudy Giuliani is there dropping his pants, your head shouldn't be so close that his hand can grab your head. If you don't consent to dick sucking, you have to step back from the bed. Here, I will take the screenshot from Borat to illustrate. You don't want to be here. If you don't want to suck dicks, you don't want to be here. You want to step back like this professional journalist did. Giuliani then pulled her head onto his penis without asking for or obtaining any form of consent. He held her by her hair. It became clear to Miss Dunphy there was no way out of giving him oral sex. So she did so against her will. Miss Dunphy confided in a friend about the abuse she had experienced. She told her friend that Giuliani acted like performing oral sex was a requirement of her job, it was, and that he pressured her for oral sex constantly. Ms. Dunphy also told the friends how she felt like she had no choice but to comply given the circumstance. Oh man, that is so sad because this is all consensual sex. Notice that there is not a moment described in this lawsuit where she expresses her lack of consent. You might argue that she had a mouthful and that she couldn't speak, but even then there can be movements of resistance easily displayed. This is my best impression of how you would say no while having a dick in your mouth. Easy. Did she do that? No. Silver Spider adds to this by saying she can bite to defend herself. I mean, the possibilities are almost endless. The possibilities are endless. It's not... Okay, so then we move on to another subject. Okay, I had a very poor bridging on this. Well, let's move into another subject. It's not missing context. The original tweet was about interracial violent crime. Okay, so that's a response to Karim Carr, you know, and this whole question of the graph. There was an interesting question asked to me on the Discord, which is, Jeff, when I argue with leftists, they come to me and they say, ah, well, the black-on-white violence is normal at 547,000. It's normal to see this discrepancy between black-on-white and white-on-black because there are more white people. And so there are potentially more victimizable white people simply out of the statistics. So this graph is misleading because it doesn't mention that there are many white people, and because they are a majority in America, they will also end up inevitably being the majority of victims. And I answered on the Discord, when people do that kind of argument, first, you want to bring their attention to a thing. The y-axis definition here, number of incidents. So those are the interracial violent crime incidents in 2018. So if someone comes to you and says, the reason black on white is overrepresented is because there are lots of white people, you can point to them that, well, let's take the mirrored argument here. If there are so many white people that they are easily victimizable, it's also the case that there are so many white people that they should also be more represented in the criminal category. Yet they are not. See, there's much less white-on-black crime than black-on-white, yet the statistics is one-to-one in terms of the potential victim/perpetrator combinations that you could get from black to white and from white to black should be the same. So if you would only look at those two numbers, it is false that these numbers are misleading. They are a representation, they are a proportionate representation simply from the fact that any argument you might do about there being potentially more white victims, it can equally be made that there should be equally more white perpetrators. So there is no question here that this graph shows a higher rate of black-on-white crimes rather than white, as opposed to white-on-black crimes. That is the first thing you have to establish. The second thing you can establish is you can grant that the fact that there is a lot of white people might influence partly the comparison between this number and this number, for example. 500,000 black-on-white violence versus 400,000 black-on-black violence. Perhaps at play here is the fact that there are a lot of potential white victims because they are a larger number of the population. That being said, you still have to compare with a controlled race like Asians or Hispanic. And what you will find is that whatever leads black people to commit crimes on white doesn't seem to be as intense in the Hispanic on white category. Because you see that the distinction between intra-racial and interracial here, it's barely visible here. It is quite important here and more important here, just like it is important here. So all in all, what this tells us is when you compare intra-racial versus interracial, you might be influenced by the quantity of the potential victims. But it's certainly, this model, this ID, doesn't tell us the whole story because it wouldn't explain the difference between the Hispanics and the blacks. And another note is that here, if you compare, if the whites were so numerous as to receive more crime just out of their numerousness, you would expect a proportion here to show up between Hispanic toward Hispanic and Hispanic on white. You don't see it in proportion to the Hispanic percentage of the population. Like this bar here should be 4 or 5 times higher. It is not. And so definitely there is something with black on white crime that is happening that is not explained by any of these easy counters that the left will do. Go Away says, JF, white people don't oppress Hispanics the same as they do black people. It stands to reason that an oppressed group is going to lash out at time, leading to these statistics. Well, no, oppression, this idea of oppression that you bring is invalid. If this oppression is a crime, prosecute it. That's how you get justice in our world. You cannot get justice for yourself just because you think you are being persecuted. The memes that are emerging from this subway guy who did the chokehold are freaking hilarious. People are comparing the subway chokeholder to some kind of ancient Roman like establisher of order, and he looks at the behavior of people on public transportation and he's waiting. He's like, what sort of degenerate behavior is this? It is so funny to see those memes emerging from this guy, especially because of the haircut that he had. People think it was super Chad of him to get this like Roman hair, classical haircut for getting arrested. I don't know if it was intentional, but it's beautiful to see the memes that are coming from this. Chuck Garrity says, so many talented meme makers out there. Absolutely. I was quoting Elon Musk because, well, there was someone, Joseph Politano, but he has blocked me now, so we can't even view his tweet. So I've done what I usually do for these people. If you block me, he has a LGBT flag on his profile. If you block me, I block you because I want you to be punished for blocking me by the algorithm. But anyways, this guy was saying Elon is getting into a dark place here. So he started, and that was even before it came into the Washington Post. But eventually it made it to the Washington Post, this idea that Elon Musk attack against George Soros is some kind of anti-Semitism. I said, George Soros, I want to erode the very fabric of American civilization. Elon Musk, he wants to erode the very fabric of civilization. Leftist Twitter, please cool it with the anti-Semitism. That is what's been happening in the last day. Elon Musk has made a tweet saying that George Soros, well, he was saying to Krasenstein, you're assuming that George Soros has good intentions, but he doesn't. He is evil. He wants to uproot the very fabric of society. Now, to anyone who's read the books of George Soros like I did, you'll understand that this is not a misrepresentation of George Soros. George Soros looks at the world and wants to fuck it up. That's what he says in his book. So read his book and you'll realize this is his plan. And he's been laying out in interviews many times. He wants to create instability to kind of wreck the system and benefit from it. That's his strategy. Because he sees himself, he looks at his past market decisions. And when he looks at it, he realizes he's really good. He's really outperforming everyone when society has a massive change to it. Really, when something falls into society, when something crashes and doesn't work like it does, usually. So from this, he concludes, I'm good when there is a paradigm shift. And Treebeard says, oh my God, you literally read the book. Yeah, Mama JF had given me the book as a gift for Christmas. People will remember on screen. So I have his book. And I read it. I believe I made a show about one of the books. I'm not sure. I think I did. But anyways, I read his books. And yeah, George Soros thinks that he has this special talent on societal changes. And that's where he gets his edge from his own perspective of himself. Yeah, the book is Soros on Soros. I mean, you can't make this shit up. The guy has a book called Soros on Soros. And so the Washington Post gets into it, and I think they change a little bit of the content here. They say updated 2 hours after the publication. But this morning I saw this article, and there was an accusation there that Elon Musk was anti-Semitic. I think the anti-Semite word is still there, but they kind of moved it to be softer. I don't have the archived version of the first version of the article, but let's read a little bit. Musk says George Soros hates humanity, compares him to Jewish supervillain. The CEO of the anti... So Magneto is a Jewish supervillain? I didn't know, because this all started with Elon Musk saying George Soros is like Magneto, who is some kind of hero, villain in the Marvel Universe. I don't know. Don't know about Magneto. So he compared him to a Jewish supervillain. Okay, so it's X-Men. The CEO, but is Magneto Jewish? Is that... I thought the actor was Jewish. Okay, so now we have... So now, because the actor is Jewish, Magneto is Jewish, therefore Magneto is a Jewish supervillain. Strange Channel says Magneto was captured by the Nazi with his parents. They forced him to use his powers. Okay, there's a whole backstory to the character. The CEO of the Anti-Defamation League condemned Elon Musk's comparison of Soros to Magneto, a Marvel villain who opposes humanity. The ADL is getting into it. Elon Musk made a series of attacks on George Soros overnight, tweeting that the Jewish-born investor... Now, this is how they mislead, see? Because if you write Jewish-born here, you make it look like Elon mentioned his Jewishness. He didn't. So you're the one who's adding Jewish-born. You're the one who's highlighting the race of the person. There was no targeting of the race of the person in Elon Musk Twitter, in Elon Musk tweet. So I find this paragraph particularly deceptive. When you start the sentence with Elon Musk made, it has to be things that Elon Musk has said or done. Because you're leading the reader to believe that Elon Musk attacked the person mentioning that he was Jewish when he didn't. A Jewish-born investor and liberal philanthropist who often is subject to virulent anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, hates humanity, and wants to erode... See the way they introduce the list here? This is probably the most deceptive use of a comma I've ever seen. See, you open a comma here. Now you list things that Elon Musk hasn't done. Elon Musk hasn't pushed virulent anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Now you just add a comma here. And suddenly you talk about something that Elon Musk did say. Elon Musk did say he hates humanity and wants to erode the very fabric of civilization. Now, you've just surreptitiously added what Elon Musk has actually said into a list of what Elon Musk hasn't said at all. So you are closing in on your deception. Your paragraph starts by Elon Musk made, then there's a list that is comma separated, but Elon Musk has really done only this. Isn't it fascinating? Elon Musk hasn't done this. Elon Musk hasn't done this. But Elon Musk did say this. Now, when you read what Elon Musk did say, your brain cannot help but to still remember the words anti-Semitic, conspiracy theories, Jewish-born investor. And so your brain cannot help but associate what Elon Musk has actually done to the paranoid accusations by this journalist. Puzim says, journals journalizing. Well, yeah, that's exactly what they do, but... That is particularly dirty, what's being done here in this paragraph. This may be one of the most leading paragraphs I've ever read in terms of, you know, I've seen straight out lies in the media, but this is something else. This is pen talent being deployed for the purpose of audience deception. This is more than just, I'm going to just straight out tell a lie. It's constructed so that you don't have legal responsibility, but you're somehow telling that lie still. Musk, who has overseen an increase of anti-Semitism, see, it's like Musk is the commander-in-chief of anti-Semitism, and he has overseen, he has presided to this happening. Again, did he do anything? Well, he allowed people back on the platform. And he also applied the platform rules in a fair way for white people. And other hate speech on Twitter since he bought the social media platform last year did not give a reason for singling out Soros. See? This is, again, extremely deceptive. How is it that someone commenting on Twitter is supposed to justify singling out? First, aren't we all individuals? Like if someone is coming and say, okay, I'm criticizing JF for ABC. Have I just been singled out? I've been singled out as a white man, and now you're pushing anti-white talking points because you're criticizing a white man, and you're singling me out. No, it's how the public space works. We comment on individuals. So how do you reconcile these anti-Semitic suggestions that you do in your first paragraph if Soros was truly singled out in this attack? He doesn't have to give a reason for singling out Soros. So pointing that he did not give a reason, is pointing to a non-existent fact for the purpose of creating doubt in the reader's mind. But he made his comments 3 days after Soros Investment Fund reported that it had sold all of its stock in Tesla, the electric car maker that Musk also runs. Yeah, I wouldn't have... I think that this is the ultimate explanation. Musk is very vengeful on anyone who doesn't trust the Tesla mission. Like, he was extremely vengeful on Bill Gates. When his interaction with Bill Gates came out that he was... That Bill Gates was shorting Tesla or something, Elon Musk got very frustrated, even said it to Bill Gates in Bill Gates' text messages, said that he didn't take him seriously because he was shorting Tesla. And interestingly, also, during those days, Elon Musk came out with the pregnant male emoji, comparing the pregnant male emoji to Bill Gates because Bill Gates has a belly. And so Elon Musk is very emotional when it comes to Tesla. Now, I don't like Tesla. I'm going to be frank with you, Elon. I think you're one of the most civilizationally important persons. I greatly admire what you've done with Twitter. I kind of find the SpaceX stuff you do cool, but I think you're headed to a place where there's nothing. Space. But on Tesla, it's overpriced cars, my friend. I don't want to buy this. I need to keep funds for buying my Pepe coins, my ETH, my BTC. I'm not buying a Tesla ever. And yeah, Elon takes that very wrong. So perhaps I shouldn't be saying these things. Go away, says JF. First, yeah, and now Elon. Why is the mainstream media so intent on casting the most popular people on Earth as anti-Semites? Who will be next? I mean, that is the current state of civilization. And you have to understand there is a war going on in our society. And we can barely talk about it. I mean, because if someone like me comes and talks about it the way I did... You get targeted by this system and they cancel you. They start writing hit pieces about you. And that's exactly what they're doing on Elon here. There is a big tension in society. There are a bunch of extremely rich people who happen to be Jewish, who are coordinating, who are trying to keep the realization from ever reaching the minds of white people that they are being led by a separate racial class. That is what's happening in America. And if you bring attention to this, you're going to get into all sorts of trouble. I knew that by bringing attention to this fact, I would get in trouble. I didn't care. I didn't care because at the moment of my life, I made this choice. I made the choice of truth. I said, long term, when people look back at my life in like 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now, it won't really matter the little hit pieces that they write about me. Those little hit pieces are all meant to really intimidate you into not thinking and not talking. And they're also meant to weaken your social network around you. So one of the person who was very hit by the hit pieces against me is my mom. She would be like, Jeff, you're ruining your life. Why can't you stop? Why don't you stop? And I don't regret what I told her then, and I told her I can't stop. once you've made this jump, there is nothing that can save you except if your bet was the right one to make. Like, if the bet of the life that I can live now with a farm, with income that I've made, I had to jump down the plane, betting that my parachute would work, and it did work. But you cannot stop once you've started this. Once you came out with the truth, once they've already destroyed you the most they could, is exactly the moment not to get out. It's the moment to start collecting on your bet. It's like getting out of the casino when the machine of your last bet is still rolling and it could still give you the jackpot. And so all this to say, there is a civilizational war of realizations of there is something that the very powerful people who control this society don't want to reach your mind. And honestly, it comes from trauma that they've accumulated, not so much from the real event of the Holocaust, because people, young Jews of today haven't encountered the Holocaust. They've heard about the Holocaust. They've heard about the Holocaust from their parents. And their parents have honestly raised them into an emotionally abusive kind of cult around this. They have cemented their identity into this tension that the white man is dangerous when they take the route A, B, C. And that is why they are so paranoid about any step we could make in that direction. Any step that could remotely resemble what Germany has done. Any realization of racial consciousness. Any claim that white people's lives matter, they will interpret through this paranoid lens and they will attack against it. They will attack with everything they have. And honestly, it makes them look very bad very often. And that's what they're trying to pull against Elon. Because this whole paranoia of anti-Semitism that they're stuck in, they're combining it and co-opting it into a commercial strategy for punishing the people who in their view, do not collaborate enough with the Jewish financial system. So they're like, all right, well, Elon has been opening the floodgates of users that had been banned and of people who were deemed anti-Semites. Well, then we cut billions of dollars from Elon's funding through advertising. They are using this whole double game of both an emotional game around the Holocaust and anti-Semitism, and also a financial game of punishing whoever is your opponent. They're combining this together and they're shooting toward anything that looks like it's not making the right noise. And I'm taking an expression here from Sam Harris. Sam Harris, I remember him commenting about someone. I don't remember who that was, but Sam Harris was explaining why he wasn't enthusiastic about a particular thinker in atheism. And he said, she doesn't seem to be making the right noises. See, that is how the Jewish intellectual approaches. If you just go slightly in the direction of an opposition to their program, you're not making the right noises. It's like, I don't know where this leads, but I don't want to know. Go away, says Jeff, but surely they are shooting themselves in the foot by painting someone as popular as Elon as an anti-Semite. Millions of Indians, Elon fanboys, are now contemplating the JQ for the first time. Well, that is always the question. Will the Jews' civilization really succeed at maintaining the central taboo of the post-World War II, like, foundational principle of Western civilization, which is Jews are welcomed here, you can't be anti-Semitic, blah, blah, blah. Or will one day will this create a backlash one day? I don't know what's the answer. I don't know what will happen. But I can tell you that I've worked hard in my life so that we would reverse this kind of preemptive strike on white people that is being made here. And I've been leveraging everything I could so that the future was better for us and that we wouldn't have to deal with this capricious, overbroadened definition of racism into this concept of anti-Semitism. And when you realize the extent of the next generation that has been, for example, in France, raised by the videos of Dieudonné, and or the youth that is rising in France reading the books of Alain Soral, and the people who are fans of people who don't hesitate to talk about Jews, like Richard Spencer, Mark Braman, me, the YouTubers, a generation of YouTuber who has been opened about talking about this subject. And now Elon Musk. Like, I have great hope that that the world is different 50 years down the line, and that they cannot hold this anymore, and that there will be a reduced value. You know, what I want for the future is not so much a complete exclusion from Jewish intellectuals from public life. I want them to be there in their little New York Times or whatever it is that they center around. I want them to continue doing their little paranoid dance around anti-Semitism, but I want it to be absolutely meaningless to the entire rest of society. I want this to be yappings of the same level as you would expect from complaints of racism in the super fringe, super specialized black newspaper in Indiana. Just yapping, yapping, yapping. Meaningless to the rest of the world. That is what I foresee. And I hope we get there. Stephen Robinson says, in 2 years' time, Richard Hart will have minted 50,000 new millionaires. Okay. Because Crazy Cat says, well, I strongly disagree with you, and they do nefarious things. The thing is, with financial power, there's also a question about whether Jewish financial power is endless. And I don't think it is endless. I think it is dilutive in its nature. It is self-punishing in its nature. I believe that one day the leftism of Jewish liberals will bite them in the ass. And so to any pile of money, I look at it and I say, you know, this can burn easily. And any accumulated wealth in a bank account, I see these things as easily dilutive over the 100-year timescale. And so I think that whatever power this money holds is through basic entropy laws of economics is bound to disappear in the long run. So there are bright days ahead. This is what I would tell you. Murdered Cash App founder was attending underground sex drug parties with sister of alleged killer. I had the hunch, whatever you guys say, I had the idea that this guy, that there must have been something gay about this whole thing. There was. it was this guy was going to these parties. He was contributing to the degeneracy of this girl. And that's why he got killed. The brother of the girl got tired. You are transforming my sister into a degenerate in these elite parties. Fuck you. And he killed him. Now I get... because it was very bizarre to me that this was all centered in San Francisco with very rich elites who had success, you know, founding big companies. And I was finding it a little bizarre that it was all about a guy and a girl, like just fucking. I thought, this is not San Francisco. There must be something more. Puzim says, so not gay. Well, the thing is, he was going to these degenerate sex parties with her. But it was these degenerate sex parties, I'm sure there was something gay about it. Because I don't think you go to these sex parties with the most beautiful girl in town just to fuck other random girls. I think you go into these parties to experience something weirder. And I'm sure that there was gay acts in the process. Anyways, that's my bet. I'm just reassured that my initial hypothesis can be accommodated with the current reality. Whereas if it was just a heart affair between a guy and a girl, I was like, this is a little weak for San Francisco. Go away, says JF, thinks it's gay to have anal sex with your girlfriend. He basically called 70% of his own audience gay. Your first statement is correct. It is gay to have anal sex with your girlfriend. Your second statement assumes that my audience is engaged in anal sex at 70%. I think you may have had too much anal sex, go away, because it's blurring your perception of the world. I am absolutely certain I'm looking DK Shadow, John Drake, James. So some of our best audience members are here tonight. Dino Legovic, Nicholas Petris, Puzim, War Criminal. There's not one person of these guys who have put their dick in an ass. That is not happening. That is not happening. It could go quite wrong. ChatGPT inventor Sam Altman admits AI could cause significant harm to the world as he testifies in front of Congress. When do we get started on talking about the revolutionary phenotype? Their Congress? Because you're currently interviewing and giving exposure to the very people who are threatening humanity. And you're not giving exposure to the book that warned about this 4 years ago. When do we get started on an actual scientific discussion of whether the theory of phenotypic revolution is true? Spoiler alert, it is. And whether we are headed toward a phenotypic revolution? Spoiler alert, we are. And what we do to stop it? I don't know. What do I have to do for this to happen? The Washington Post has published this ridiculous graph to kind of... there is no mathematics or visual or other... And there is no academic reason of any kind that can explain why you would make a graph with bizarre pentagonal shapes like this and trapezoids, and why the heck would you visually divide stuff like this is, of course, we know why. It's because it allows to create a smooth brain type of approach where oh things are complex. It's like, it's the exact opposite of what proper data delivery and illustration should be. You give a format that the brain can immediately access quickly the most fundamental numbers. I can't hear because everything is disguised as camouflaged into a 5 or 6-sided shape that has bizarre shapes, so it's super hard to get proportions. But the whole point of this graph was to say, look at the white-on-white crimes. This is the biggest problem in America. But someone did exactly what you have to do. Look at this. So take this little triangle. This is the number of white people who are attacking black people. Try to fit this triangle into the number of black people who are attacking white people. And you'll see that the triangle fits many, many, many times. This is actually the most the one informative chart about this thing. You have to understand that, yes, white-on-white crime exists because whites are a lot of the population. But first, this square here, black crime, is disproportionately high given that black people are only 13% of the population. Look at this. Look at this whole shape. The black perp, this is the whole shape, not just the white, the red part. The whole shape is, my God, it's like almost as big as the white perp. And yet white people are 6-7 times more, 6 times more approximately, 6 times bigger population. So there's your first problem. The second problem is that the media, and this is the whole point that we've been trying to make with this graph to begin with, that Elon was trying to make, that is very clear, it is the point that is made with the graph, is that the media tries to drag your attention solely on this little green triangle. White people victimizing black people. Whereas this triangle fits many, many times in another kind of interracial event, black people victimizing white people. So once you've put the triangles correctly, you can see that the original statement of the graph is still true. Help homeless people, enough is enough, oh shit. Women are getting into political action.
I look upon our homeland today, and I think back to the famous Rivers of Blood speech made by Enoch Powell, not too far away from here in Birmingham in the late 60s.
Holy shit! Is that a based speech? She's right away starting with Enoch Powell? I didn't expect this. Honestly, I included this news item in tonight's show without listening to it. I was like, ah, fucking female. House of homeless, blah, blah, blah. Help our homeless. Enough is enough. I didn't expect she would just like this drop Enoch Powell.
Yet even he, with all of his prophetic wisdom, could not have foreseen the utter levels of injustice, subjugation, and humiliation that we, the native British population, will be subjected to today.
Holy shit. She's talking about the native British population. She's been on Ed Dutton's show. Oh, okay. I thought she was a random woman talking about politics. I thought, because look behind her, it's help our homeless. Enough is enough. House our homeless first. Okay, but she's talking. Okay, she's doing exactly she's doing exactly the Mark Collett thing. Where, you know, they say, help the natives. Help the natives. And you're like, okay, are there any natives being victimized? And then eventually the normie gets down and, oh, you're talking about white people. She's doing the same with homeless people. It's like, help the homeless. And then eventually you realize, who are the homeless? Well, it's whoever aren't given these free government programs that allow them to stay in our hotels, i.e. white people.
By the globalist anti-white Marxist traitors that are governing our state and their important foreign hostile hordes. In just a few short generations, we, the British, went from commanding respect across the globe to being a laughingstock around the world. We went from being the builders of the world's largest empire, ruling the seas and winning world wars, stressing being able to protect our own people and borders against third world invaders arriving in inflatable dinghies, armed with only con artist sob stories, ill intent and a wrongful sense of entitlement, installed within a bio globalist enemy, to everything that is rightfully exclusively ours.
Holy shit. I like her. I like this woman. She's different. Russia says it took out US-supplied Patriot missile in hypersonic strike on Kiev. Russia's military may have taken out a US-supplied Patriot anti-air battery in Ukraine. They were saying that it's many millions of dollars gone. The FY 2024 cost of these per missile is $5.2 million. That was $158 million fired in about 2 minutes. And as we see, the battery or something else likely got blown up, so it failed in its mission. Let's try to listen to this. Okay, so that was a battery sending first a missile and receiving a counter strike at the same time or not so long after. So it's sending missiles. Okay, so their point is, it's firing so many missiles, it's 100, just the missiles we've seen in the video is $158 million worth of missile. Okay, that is interesting. I didn't know this. Ukraine officially joins NATO Cyber Defense Center, inching toward full membership. Ukraine has formally become a member of NATO Cyber Defense. The flag of Ukraine has been officially raised at the headquarters of the Joint Center for Advanced Technologies for NATO Cyber Defense in Tallinn, Estonia, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine reports. So as far as I'm concerned, this all shows that the worries of Russia are fully justified. They are acting like they are at the Western front of a war against Russia. And they are joining NATO now in a kind of half and half way with the hope of eventually being full member. I want to denunciate some FUD. People have been seeding fear around the Ledger. And the Ledger is a product that I have backed in the past. I have told you guys that I was satisfied with my Ledger. And there are people who are starting to be worried because Ledger has announced a new function that they will allow people to install as an app, which gives you a backup on the internet by taking your seed keys from your Bitcoin wallet or whatever wallet you have, separating them in shards. And a shard is sent to one source, a shard is sent to another source, and a third shard is sent to a third source. And the only way you can get the backup, if you ever need to restore a wallet from these shards, you would have to get two of the three sources, bring them together, and form a new ledger from this recovery key. Now, this, in the view of some commentators around safety and security on the internet, is a breach of a fundamental expectation that people have developed toward the ledger. They have developed the expectation that the ledger never exports its keys, that there is no way the keys can ever exit the ledger. Because if they can, then potentially a virus could trigger the ledger to give out its keys, but fool it. And instead of sending it to the secure servers, the virus could record them and steal your Bitcoin. Now, I want to say, and DK Shadow seems to know what he's talking about because he says hidden feature, it's not even new. It was assumed the keys can never be extracted from the secure element. Well, I've always known that the keys cannot possibly be stuck onto the ledger because the ledger allows the installation of something called the recovery tool, the recovery check tool. And the recovery check allows you to input onto the ledger your seed keys to verify that you have the right seed keys as a backup. And simply this, to me, meant, as always meant, that the ledger gives access to the seed keys to any person with capability to install a program and enter an input. So to me, it's not a surprise that, and to me, anyways, a key is always going to be accessible because that key is needed. The private key is needed for the ledger to work. If you want to send Bitcoin with your ledgers, it has to access something like the key. So to me, it's always been clear that this was readable and that since the ledger is basically a little computer, a miniature computer, it makes no doubt to me that the ledger is capable of reading the keys. DK Shadow says, recovery check just checks if the checksum matches. That's how I think it works. I don't know. We'd have to determine, is it truly through a checksum or is it by accessing the keys? Anyways, what I can tell you is that personally, as a user of that tool, I had concluded that somehow it has access to the keys. So I had given up the idea that the ledger cannot possibly give seed keys. I had just secured myself into the belief that the ledger always uses manual verification to do anything. And so that is the great protection layer of the ledger. If the ledger is about to do anything, it's going to ask you and say, please click and confirm. This physical step is what's so important to me about the ledger. Not so much the fact that whether the seeds are recoverable. They have to be in a way. DK Shadow says the secure element is supposed to only allow cryptographic functions like signing messages. Yeah, but it has to be opened enough that potentially new developments onto the ETH blockchain can eventually pass that bridge, right? And so it has to be... I'll keep reading what the contestation was. An official answer from Ledger would be very much appreciated. Is there a backdoor, yes or no? Also, because the alternative, typing the three parts of the seed for the three custodians, goes against the number one rule of never typing your seed in a connected device. This silence on how this recovery works is the worst response. Customers appreciate transparency. And the Ledger co-founder answered, the device sends encrypted shards of your seed to different companies if you decide to use the service. You can, of course, still choose to back it up yourself. Well, I guess this is where we say goodbye. Ledger no longer can claim that the recovery seeds never leaves the device since there is capability in the firmware to do so. Just a matter of time, this is exploited by a malicious third party. That's it, game over. Now, I want to say, I am personally not believing that my ledger is at risk. I think that first, to enable this shard sending capability, you have to install this particular app on your ledger. The ledger, before it allows the installation of an app, asks you manually to confirm, do you want to install this app? So I don't see how a virus could insert this app without your consent onto the ledger. The ledger is physically protected by the step of I have to approve it with the double click. A physical one, not one that is virtually reproducible. And so that's the first layer of security. Secondly, even if you were to install this app, I'm sure that this app will be designed in a way that it can only pull the information out with a manual confirmation step where you have to click again. So given that there's two layers of manual confirmation before this could eventually be potentially an exploit. And I'm not talking here about the difficulties of accessing, you know, in an hostile manner, a device. Perhaps you can, perhaps you can't. But in any case, you're going to need a manual confirmation step. So in my view, that doesn't expose the seed keys to a security flaw. Now, I will still say, given the nervousness of people on the internet about this, it's not very clever for Ledger to have done this. And I would highly recommend that they back off from this plan. Now, the CTO of Ledger has published a video in which he explains, look, this is not an ability of the firmware. It's an ability of an app that you can install on your Ledger or not. If you don't want it, don't install it. But I think people are just heartbroken by the confidence that they had built that the seeds cannot possibly even be taken. I personally had not built this confidence. I understood that the Ledger is not something I play with. It's not something I pull out and plug onto my computer at any point. It's a really precious thing that I actually keep away from my computer as much as I can. And I've personally had understood that the seed keys are truly protected because of a simple physical step that is required by each app to do anything with them. DK Shadow says, the fear is what if the company Ledger goes bad or gets captured by the G-Man? That is a problem. This whole idea of having a commercial platform basically monopolize the apps of the Ledger. It's a problem in a way, but it's also a great feature when you think about it. it's a very great feature as long as the company is reliable and not taken over by special interest. It's a terrible feature once they are corrupt. And you never know when it's going to happen. On this, my position is I use the protection of the collective. I'm a communist on this one. I bet that if there's a problem with Ledger, it's going to affect, and given that I don't use the Ledger at a great frequency, like if I was to use Ledger every day, I would certainly be in the batch of people who eventually learn that Ledger is corrupt and you've lost everything. But since I use Ledger basically every year, maybe like once a year, I bet that out of 365 days, there's only going to be one day where a massive hack happens at the Ledger company. And it's not going to be the day where I happen to use it. So I'm collectivizing, I'm socializing away, I'm ensuring myself by the mass of people who use Ledger, and they will get hurt before I do, because I'm not plugging my Ledger in a very frequent manner. What else did we have before we close the show? New guy says, JF can't be a commie. I can, as long as I use consensual relationships. If you've bought a Ledger and if you use it more often than me, you consent to be my insurance layer. And if you get fucked by Ledger one day, I will simply never plug my Ledger and I will restore this wallet onto another kind of software that I will trust. But for now, I actually trust Ledger. I think they're great. They've not been failing. They are not incentivized to fail. I trust them personally. But I won't connect I won't connect the Ledger often, and I won't update the Ledger often without let the update work its way. Let the update operate through the globe. Give it a week or two, and then consider it safe. Four reasons why Chicago should dump its sanctuary city status. Many Chicagoans are outraged that city and state officials are prioritizing a growing number of illegal immigrants over residents and their communities. Well, there you go. It's not sustainable. Of course, it's not sustainable. And finally, Michael Schellenberger, censorship by Turkish government. Twitter sought compliance with Turkey's censorship demands long before Elon Musk bought the company. Twitter transparency surpasses that of Google and Meta. Musk's archest critics defend him. Critics of Twitter are roasting Elon Musk for agreeing to the censorship demands of the Turkish government days before last Sunday's election. Jimmy Wells of Wikipedia said Musk should have done what Wikipedia did. We stood strong for our principles and fought to the Supreme Court of Turkey and won. This is what it means to treat freedom of expression as a principle rather than a slogan. But Twitter did exactly that. We will continue to object in court. So basically, it's Michael Schellenberger trying to defend Twitter's attitude. Twitter's attitude toward Turkey, the Turkey question. I don't care all that much. I don't have an opinion. But it looks like the Twitter files are being basically recycled into a theme that they were not initially meant to cover. Now Twitter files only means basically a super long Twitter thread that does the apologia of Elon Musk. Okay. DK Shadow says, didn't JF almost immediately upgrade to Windows 11? I did. But on which computer? I did on a computer that could get hacked and that I wouldn't lose my bitcoins.